Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of the Moon Underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub. Hello and welcome back to the Moon Underwater. We are with the wonderful John Cooper Clarke designing his dream pub. And before we left for the break, Dan, you had a pub quiz.
Yes. So it's all about luck in honour of John's poem and book, The Luckiest Guy Alive. So question one. The number four is unlucky in China, but which single digit number is considered lucky because it sounds like the word for wealth?
Who's going to go first?
Got to be a guess in both cases, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I think I might know, but we'll find out if I'm right or not.
Well, if you think you might know, I think the same as you, because I know that I don't. All right.
Well, shall we both say eight?
You're both going to say eight.
Doesn't sound very Chinese, though.
No. Well, no. I don't know what it is in Chinese, but eight is the correct answer.
Oh, I see. So it's eight, whatever the number is in Chinese.
Yes.
Mandarin. Okay.
Yeah.
So a point each there.
So nothing there then.
And 88 is really lucky because it's double happiness.
So it is eight?
Yeah, it is eight.
But you can't have 88 because it's a single digit.
No, but, well, eight is, single digit is eight, but 88 is like double lucky.
Oh, right. Okay.
At the Beijing Olympics opening ceremony started, which was amazing, if you remember, it was incredible, started at 8:08 p.m. on the 8th of the 8th, 2008. And that was all to do with their...
For that reason.
Yeah, wow. For that reason, yeah.
All right, yeah, very good, yeah.
Great fact, Dan.
Okay, what is triskaidekaphobia? Any ideas?
Well, it's a fear, isn't it, of something?
Yeah, it's a fear.
If the quiz is about luck, it's got to be something to do with luck.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yeah. So it's something to do with luck. I think there's a little clue in the first three letters, T-R-I. And then if you think about...
I'm thinking of trichology. You know, is it a trichology, the care of hair follicles?
That'd be the fear of
specialist,
bald.
Fear of bald, fear of a morbid fear of male pattern baldness.
I was going to say fear of winning the lottery.
It's the fear of the number 13.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's an actual thing, and that people can be really scared of it. And there's loads of theories why 13 is seen as unlucky. One of them is that there were 13 people at the Last Supper.
That's right. Leaving a book is with a smile on your face.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very unlucky. Could be very unlucky. Never do that.
I was on a plane the other day. I noticed they had no row 13.
Yeah.
But I was in row 14. So I thought, well, I'm just in 13. They just haven't called it that.
Yeah, well, in China, they won't have any floor that's got a four in it. So there's no floor four, there's no floor 14. And then to be sort of respectful to Westerners, they quite often don't have a floor 13. So there's
they do.
It's
yes,
really
they used
strange.
To do that as a matter of course.
Yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Even if they had 13 floors, it wasn't called that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
Mr. Otis was very careful about that. That's the thing I'd missed. Sorry, is there another question?
One more.
Sorry.
In the Caribbean, what is it supposed to mean if you have an itchy palm?
You're going to come in some money.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yes, that is correct.
So that's a lucky thing.
Yeah. Right? Well, specifically, itchy left palm, this is in the Caribbean, itchy left palm means you'll owe money soon. Itchy right palm means you'll come into money. Oh. But I think generally, itchy palms is coming
into money. Have you ever had an itchy palm?
Yeah, I was thinking that. I don't think I have either.
No, you'd know. I'd notice if that ever happened.
Yeah, you would.
It never has.
Probably explains why I'm in destitute poverty.
Do you want to know what the boys and men in Thailand believe brings them luck?
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
It's wearing a surrogate penis amulet under their pants. It's about 2 inches long, and they believe that it brings them luck.
What?
Especially when gambling or fighting.
What website are you getting these from?
Yeah, from the website about things that are lucky.
Penis amulets.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, the quiz itself, I think, was good, but there was a lot of faff around
facts.
It. Well, a lot of it seemed strange and irrelevant. But thank you.
Did anybody learn anything from this? Here's a quick piece of medical advice while we're on the subject of booze.
Yeah.
All the vitamins you'll ever need in the head of a beer.
Right.
It's a shame I haven't got enough room for it. I'd be a lot more healthier than I am now.
Well, you could just order a pint and drink the head and then pass it on. Yeah.
Inhale the froth.
Yeah,
it'd be like the ice cream licking. So they get a penny lick of a pint.
Yeah, it has echoes. I love a circular conversation. It does have echoes of the penny lick of ice cream 1906.
John, you get two spirits in your pub. What's your first one going to be?
Well, gin. Gin for the use of, you know.
Oh,
we've got one on the way, haven't we?
I think I can see it materialising in front of us by magic.
Tell us about gin and I've got a Hollow and Bourne London
Dry
gin.
You know what? I'm going to go for it.
Would you like some?
Ice and,
What I have got is some cold tonic. I don't have any ice.
Okay, have you got any lemon?
I have got lemon.
Wow. Schweppes tonic, though.
Yeah.
I'd have Fever Tree. I'm a bit panicky.
Well, do you know what? I didn't buy these. The Moon Underwater does it. But had I have bought it, I might have been standing in the supermarket going, is John Cooper Clarke going to want just a standard Schweppes or is he going to want Fever Tree?
No, Fever Tree. That's the best. It's so organic. It's so chock full of quinine. It actually gives you malaria.
You see, I'd have thought you'd have gone for Schweppes as well.
No,
I don't blame
me,
the Moon Underwater for that decision.
No, okay. I'm a Fever Tree guy, or a Fentimans do one as well.
Yeah, that's nice.
So the ginger beer people.
Can I pour you one, John?
Yeah,
please do.
Yeah, a couple of fingers.
A couple of fingers of the gin or
a couple of fingers
tonic?
Will do me, Nice one, beautiful. And it's a little early for me, but hey.
It's a bit early, but you know.
We're in situ.
We're in between realms where time is not relevant.
It's not going to be the coldest, most beautiful gin and tonic you've ever had, but how much tonic do you like?
I'll go for it. Keep going, yeah. I like a bit of fizz. I recently got a gig for a gin mill.
Right.
You know, writing jingles. I don't think... The trouble with me is when I write... Nothing will get you writing poetry like money.
Right.
So I love doing adverts for that reason, jingles. And it's a very good discipline because there's a right way and a wrong way. You've got to impart some certain information in a very limited time frame.
Yeah.
And you've got to make it stylish and poetical. So that's a tough brief, but I like a tough brief. Well, it's not tough, it's rigid. And I like that because that's when your imagination can really kind of get to grips with
something. What did you come up with?
So I came up with a bunch of real good stuff. I did the same for an insurance company, but that's another story. But the trouble with me is I'm too honest, you know what I mean? Why do people drink gin? So I've got lines like this. at the public bar of any welcoming inn. He's the geezer with the goofy grin. What got him into the state he's in? Gin. But it's a natural question, isn't it? If you're in their early doors and you see some guy that's off his face.
What's happened?
You know, in a short space of time, it's like, I'll have, what's he having? It's a standard riff in any early doors situation, isn't it? If there's somebody in there that's already leathered, it's like, well, I'll have what he... The best thing you can do with poetry anyway, but especially in advertising, reminding people of what they already know.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to tell them anything new about, why does anybody drink gin? What's the other? I even wrote the Christmas one. Christmas is coming, better get some in. Notify your next of kin. Christmas is coming, better get some in. Say goodbye to self-discipline. When the working day is wearing thin and the afternoon gets under, when the working week gets under your skin and the afternoon is wearing thin, it's 5:30 somewhere, better get some in. I'm not giving you the name, they haven't paid me yet. Okay. They don't even want it, that's what I'm saying. They don't even want those.
Oh, that's madness.
You know, oh no, we want to promote responsible drinking. I love that one, responsible gambling.
Yeah.
There's no such thing. You know, even degenerate gamblers don't think they're gambling. They think they're on a cert.
Mm. Yeah.
They think they're gaming or something like, or a sporting gentleman. But even in the gambling community, a gamble is a reckless act.
You mentioned Plymouth as a gin you enjoy. Are there any other ones you like?
Yeah, I like Gordon's. Yeah. I like all of them, actually. I like Hendricks. I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like Hendricks with cucumber.
Yeah.
I don't like that one. I had one at the, I was doing a show at the first time I came across that. I was doing a show at the Stoke Newington Town Hall.
Right.
A few years ago. And I thought, what's that smell? I can smell cucumber. I mean, even if you're eating a salad, you know, you can't see. I didn't even know it had a smell. But it has a smell when you drop it in a gin and tonic. And it ain't nice.
It reminded me.
And there's another one. It could almost put me off melons. I don't know. There's a lavatory block, you know, those antiseptic blocks you get in
urinals.
Urinals. There's one of them that smells worryingly like cantaloupe. And it's kind of put me off. All these years I've loved that, but it's been around for years. You know what
I can't think of what that was.
Have you got any olfactory memory of this, or is it a product of my fevered imagination?
I can't think of it. I'm trying to think of. I can think of a general melon smell, but I can't specifically.
I mean, lemon, you can understand. It's antiseptic and clean and sharp, you know, and obviates any unpleasant odours.
Yeah.
You know, every squeeze. Yeah, I can understand that. But melon, you know, it's a bit tropical, isn't it, to be?
When I used to clean toilets, urinals, my boss used to call them pineapple chunks. Did you change the pineapple chunks?
Honestly, another fruit reference. Yeah.
There you go.
Does that put you off? Yeah, peeing on a... Did it put you off pineapple chunks?
I didn't really smell any. I just thought they looked like them, so I didn't... Maybe a bit.
Well, that's a shame. You know, it used to be illegal to serve up gammon.
Did it?
Without a pineapple ring involved.
Oh, right, all right. But you like a gin. Is gin your drink before you perform? Is that right?
Yeah, I get a neat gin. Neat gin, ice cold, yeah. It was introduced to me by Alan Vega of the group Suicide.
Right.
And he would have it immediately before showtime. As a stimulant, because that's after all what it is, isn't it, gin? That's what I like about it. I think it's a pick me up, isn't it? It's not a soporific.
Yeah, well, a lot of people
You want the brown liquors later on in the evening when bedtime approaches, don't you? But up until then,
a lot of people talk about misery and getting emotional after gin, don't they?
I've never found this to be the case. No, have you? Not even in women. Mother's ruin, isn't it?
Yeah.
All that.
Yeah. What's your second spirit choice?
gin, yeah. And like I say, I would have a lot of real cheap stuff, you know, fire water, because for the very reasons I mentioned earlier, you know, some very interesting people drink that kind of stuff, you know, Gene Vincent, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
You know, they used to drink Ripple wine and Thunderbird wine, you know, rubbish, you know, but it got them where they wanted to be. And, you know, fire water that burns all the way down, you know. Some people really like that. Some very interesting people, in fact, that I've met in life, have that's the drinks that they've preferred.
Have you got a favourite fire water?
I'd have a lot of them around. I used to drink a lot of Fundador cheap Spanish brandy when I lived in Spain a long time ago. But I'd heard it mentioned in a movie version of Ernest Hemingway's The Sun Also Rises, starring Tyrone Power, Ava Gardner, and the ravaged Errol Flynn, who keeps ordering one more Fundador. You know, so, yeah, Fundador. I'd have that in. They used to advertise it on telly in the 60s. Fondador. they had this cartoon Don Quixote.
Yeah.
Tilting at windmills.
They should have got you to do the jingle.
I should have done, yeah, because I am actually. I was an adherent of their products.
Every week, John, Dan speaks to one of our listeners to get a suggestion of what a guest can put in their dream pub. Dan, who have you been chatting to this week?
Well, it's funny you brought up Spain, because we've got someone called Franco. Hopefully not that Franco. But let's have a listen to it. He's going to suggest something for your pub.
Uh-huh.
If you like it, you can have it in your pub. If you don't, you can reject it. That's totally up to you. It's completely your decision. Let's have a listen.
Hi, guys. Franco here.
Hi, Franco.
My suggestion for John's pub is maybe a booth in the corner that is a time machine, and specifically for Frinton residents, because I know Frinton has got the reputation of being God's waiting room. So I'd be intrigued to see if the punters would go into that booth to maybe transport back into time, go into like such famous times as when the gates were still intact in Frinton. Yeah, let me know what you think. Bye.
Bye, Franco.
Bye, Franco.
Frinton, you mentioned it. I think that, yeah, that's right. They used to have a signpost point at what was it? That way for the continent, that way for the incontinent, or something like that. I don't know. It was a genuine sign that some wag put up there, you know, because it was known as being something of a dormitory town by the sea,
yeah.
Eschewing all the attractions of the seaside that are available in Clacton.
Yeah.
Every seaside resort in England, doesn't they, has these a close neighbour,
yeah,
that wants nothing to do with any of that fish and chips nonsense. And they're all snootier than snoots, aren't they? You know, you've got that. For instance, in the north, it would be Lytham St. Anne's,
yeah,
as opposed to Blackpool,
yeah,
you know, Hove rather than Brighton.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has their snooty neighbour. Every resort has its snooty neighbour. And for instance, when they got a chip shop, I mean, we're talking ultra snobbery here, you know. When they got a chip shop, it was reported in the opinion column of the Times, you know, the national paper, you know, National Daily. And, you know, with the kind of, the subtext being, the rot has finally set in. They've got a chip shop. They've capitulated. The last bastion of civilized values have capitulated to the vulgar oiks of the likes of Clacton. They've got a chip shop. Now, what next? A pub. And sure enough, they had licensed brands. It wasn't a pub, it was one of them cafe bars, but you could get a Peroni in there. You know, the sort of place. And it was one of them, the Three Barrels or something, you know. So sure enough, within the year, they got a boozer. So, you know,
I've never been to Frinton. Have you been down?
I mean, it's beautiful, no, actually. There's a corner of it. It's a completely Art Deco little estate. You know, all built in 1936. Looks like Miami Beach in miniature.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just it's gorgeous. It really, really worth looking at. I bet they're top dollar. Rainham Way, I think one of the streets is called.
Yeah,
but, you know, they've got crittle
nice
windows,
beach.
Crittle windows, flat roof, you know, Art Deco villas. The like of which, you know, you would expect to find in you know, Miami Beach. Yeah. Real that style.
It's one of those places where they'll have those beach huts that go for
40 grand or whatever. Yeah.
I've never understood that.
Like, it's weird, isn't it?
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money for a place to have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Are you getting them up there in Rio?
Oh, yeah, I was just having a look at the pictures, yeah.
Have you got the Art Deco apartment? And they've even started, in fact, they're adding to it now. Even the new builds around there are in the Art Art Deco style, you know.
That's fabulous.
Oh, wow.
You know, nautical round window.
It does look like something you'd find in Miami. That's amazing.
Isn't it beautiful, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I have to visit. It's not a million miles. I'm an East Anglia boy. Exactly,
check it out, friend. It is lovely. I like Clacton anyway, but I live quite close, not very far from there.
Yeah. Is Franco's suggestion getting accepted then, a time machine to send you back to Frinton?
A time machine in lieu of a jukebox sort of thing.
Well, you can have both.
So what is it? Does it? I want to click. Does it take years off you if you want? Can you get in?
Sure, it's become your pub, John.
And
you
become a young man
you
again.
You can make that happen if you want.
Well, it sounds like every home should have one. Never mind every pub. So yeah.
Yeah, it takes years off, but you have to live those years in Frinton only.
Let me think about it.
Okay.
No, actually, that would be no hardship. It's a very pretty little place. Yeah. Very, very pretty. Okay. Near the sea. You've got the benefit of the sea air there.
Yeah.
You know.
Wonderful. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And with the lovely weather we're having in Britain these days.
Yeah. Franco's suggestion is accepted then.
Yeah.
If you've got a suggestion for something that could go into a future pub, you can email me, robbie@moonunderpod.com, with your idea. And we'll put it to a future guest. Now it's time for the pub jukebox here, John. And you get to put one CD or mini disc into the pub jukebox.
Only one, because I've got two here.
We might let you have a second one.
Thanks. Because I'm a musical kind of guy.
Exactly.
You know, Elvis, the Sun Sessions. Because, you know, this is before he'd invented the kind of rockabilly that we know about today. The Sun Sessions features a lot of stuff that isn't rock and roll at all, you know, country classics, even, you know, Blue Moon, you know, the great American song. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, and of course Elvis can sing anything you like, you know. He could have been Pavarotti if he'd have wanted. So there's a guy with no vocal limitations whatsoever, stretching himself out and trying all sorts of things, you know, songs out. You know, Vic Damone songs, you know. He was a big fan of Dean Martin. As am I, you know. In fact, you can see where Elvis got that. You know what I mean? Because Dino did that a hell of a lot, didn't he? You know, slurring, probably in that quasi-drunken fashion that he perfected.
When you think of the Sun Sessions, when you listen to the Sun Sessions, what did it make you think of?
Well, every song, you know, every song is a different thing. I mean, he just kind of sells every one of those songs as you would imagine he would. And I think that it's a real eye opener. And there's one in Blue Moon. He actually goes into falsetto, something he never did ever again. Mm. There's no example of him ever bursting into falsetto before or since.
And what are you putting in with Elvis?
And the other one is, you know, what better than really for appropriateness, Chaz and Dave's greatest hit.
Brilliant.
Ultimate pub band.
Yeah, absolutely. Great band. Yeah. Fantastic. Brilliant. Fabulous musicians. Great lyrics. I love Chaz and Dave. I don't see them, you know, people used to present them as a comedy act, but I don't think so. I think they're very much in the tradition of, you know, Harry Champion, Gus Ealing, the singing costermonger. They had that kind of musical vibe about them, you know, knees up, you know, terrific. That sort of thing will never go out of date.
At my wedding.
Brilliant they were.
At my wedding.
Dave's still around. In fact,
one of them's not.
Dave's still around.
Yeah, I think so. At my wedding, after the ceremony, we left the room to Chaz and Dave's Snooker Loopy.
Fantastic choice. Great choice. They wrote that back in the days of Barry Hearn, didn't they?
Yeah. Great
song. When all the Canucks were cleaning up, you know, Cliff Thorburn.
Yeah.
Bill Werbenick.
Yeah.
There's a customer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 10 pints of lager on the National Health. to combat the side effects of his beta blockers.
Well, if you could, if we did insist on only one CD, maybe you could have Chaz and Dave as a regular live band, because they're a great
act,
weren't they?
Yeah. Amazing. All right, that's a good way around it. Yeah. So we'll have a piano in the pub.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rabbit.
Oh, I interviewed them once. They were lovely guys. They were really nice.
Who's that? Who?
Chaz and Dave. Yeah.
Oh, I know they are. Yeah. I've met them a lot really of times. Nice. Yeah. In fact, Dave. He got ill first and then got over it, didn't he, Dave? He was out of the band for a long time, and then, and then he got better, and now this. But you know, but he's now Dave. He paints all these gypsy caravans and barges and things like specific styles.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
You know, with gold leaf and scrolling.
Yeah. And
flowers, you know, Swiss, you know. Unbelievable. He's very good at it. He must be the only guy doing that sort of thing anymore. You know, that kind of fairground, sign writing. You know, he's a dab hand at it. I've seen him on TV doing up a gypsy caravan.
My first post-divorce pint, the gin I had in Hull, my nan's homemade buckfast, the rum I drank with Liz Hurley, the lager I stole from the pigeon detectives.
It's time now, John, for a drink in time, where the Moon Underwater will transport you back in time to a drink you've had in your past that you can relive. What would you like it to be?
Yes, well, this concerns some, sadly, a late couple I used to know. When I first started living in London, when I first even started visiting London, I got to know this guy, the late Jay Landisman, and he was a publisher. He'd published a magazine in New York. He moved to England in 1964, I think, bought a house in Islington for about, you know, nothing. And now it's top dollar. But whilst in New York, he'd run a bohemian literary magazine out of Greenwich Village called Neurotica. And on the strength of that, I think he gave a lot of those beatnik writers their first... outing, but his main drinking companion was William Holden.
Oh wow!
Who was a real morning, noon, and night shicker, you know. So anyway, that's a bit of the backstory. But he was married to you might have heard of Fran Landisman. Fran was a poet, and I did a lot of shows we connected over Fran's work. She was great. She's written songs that Ella Fitzgerald has sung, and Blossom Dearie are among some of her cohorts. So they were real big hitter, real high flyers. They were very glamorous people. So my first drink, memorable drink would be my first martini, actually, in the early 80s, in the company of Jay Landisman and his fabulous wife, Fran, and we were in the Atlantic Bar and Grill, which was one of about two places where you could get a martini.
Wow. So whereabouts is that, the Atlantic Bar and Grill?
It's central, isn't it? Yeah. You know, I couldn't give you the street, actually. After that, you know, you could get lately you can get a martini anyway. But then, you know, you really had to go and scope out the whole town to find where you could get a pro. Otherwise, you'd get sort of an amount of martini in the glass, which is the kiss of death. You want it arid.
Yeah.
So, you just swill it around, throw it away, and the rest of it's gin or vodka if you prefer. He liked the vodka martini, détente in a glass, he called it. It was back in the days of the Cold War.
So if this was your first one, how did it happen? Did they suggest it, or did you
they were having martinis, so I just said, count me in. It was that time of the day, 5:30, you know, they were working people, you know, they weren't like complete wasters or anything, you know. So it was that magic hour, innit? 5:30 somewhere. Better get some in. So, count me in. I'll have a martini also. So he says, you want it arid, you know. So he kind of poured the martini and started swilling it around and shook the glass for ages to get rid of the last drops of vermouth, you know. But it still does the business. It still takes away any residual other flavours. It swamps the whole drink. You don't need a lot. If you bought a bottle of vermouth, you wouldn't have to ever buy another one for the rest of your life.
Yeah. It does last.
So that was extremely memorable because it's the ideal drink for me, and its effect is instant. There's no building up to anything.
Yeah.
It's 1 minute, it's the end of the working day. And then a whole wonderland. Drink one of those. And it's not a great deal of volume in it. You know, it's a very short drink. But, you know, suddenly the world becomes a more accommodating place.
Have you got preferred garnish with it, an olive?
I like a twist.
Do you?
But if I'm having olives, I like it. I don't mind a dirty martini.
I love a dirty martini. Like that's my favourite.
It's good for your olive oil.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like a dirty martini. But, you know, of a summer's evening, I think I prefer the twist.
It's time now for us to find out John's dream pub companion. But that is only for those of you who've invested in the Moon Underwater Patreon. If you want to find out how to do that, you go to moonunderpod.com. For the rest of you, we'll be back after these brief advertisements.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
You are barred.
We've heard a lot about the things you want to put in your pub job, but it's now time for you to bar something. What is not allowed in your Moon Underwater?
Children. They shouldn't hear the kind of language that would go on in my pub.
Do you try and avoid children-filled pubs in your travels, or is this just in your dream?
It just doesn't seem to be any rules around that anymore.
You know?
I mean, you wouldn't have to ask for their birth certificate, and yet they... You know, maybe a playroom somewhere out of that, but you wouldn't want... I mean, they're going to get burnt by cigarettes and pick up bad language. It's no place for a kid.
Are they allowed in your beer garden? I presume you're probably...
All right,
garden.
If it's got a beer
it's
garden.
It's up to you.
Yeah,
it's
all
up
right,
to you.
Yeah, but I went to a beer gardens when I was a kid, you know, in the summer months, So we'd met with my dad, my mum and dad. So, yeah, and it was a big thrill as well. So good point there. Okay, beer garden only.
And are you having any, is the beer garden just picnic tables, or are you having any facilities for the children? Because I know my local pub does have like a slide in it.
Yeah, you'll have one, something like that. Otherwise, they'd be mithering you all night for another Coca-Cola.
something that will keep them entertained.
Yeah, keep them occupied. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
A child-free.
One of them bowl ponds, you know, those things where they get buried in bowls. I've seen it on The Simpsons.
Yeah. Kids. When I was a kid.
Scratchy Land episode, I think.
Is it that one? No, it's at the Ayn Rand School for Children.
Oh, yes. They were very popular ball ponds in the 80s, weren't they, and stuff? You don't see them as much these days.
What's that?
Ball ponds. I don't see them.
Are they called that?
I think so. They should be. I think they call that.
Ball pools?
You're not thinking of the Balls Pond Road, are you?
Maybe I am. I'd say ball pit.
Really, is it?
I think so.
You know what I mean, anyway. Yeah. So kind of, they couldn't drown, but they could get buried.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be life-threatening because being spherical, there are air pockets.
There was all those sort of urban myths that rats lived at the bottom of them.
I worry about other people's children.
Yeah.
I'm like that. I became a safety nut when I had a daughter late in life, you know, and I was totally health and safety expert. And now I can't look at modern architecture, you know, look at that right angle, right on the level of a toddler's eye. Couldn't they have rounded it off?
John, you've got a new book out that we have in front of us here.
Yeah, that's right. What?
Poetry. Would you fancy reading something to us?
Sure thing. Yeah, this is called What? Now, my wife's French, and I go to visit my French half of my family every August and spend quite a few weeks there. And so you know, TV is on a kind of loop wherever you are in the world, isn't it? And every year I've found that there's usually on the Arte channel, they usually feature this weekend of German heavy metal bands. You wouldn't see them otherwise. What an eye-opener. But it's real. Anyway, here it is in verse. And I thought, you know, this is very entertaining. It's quite a lot of variety in that world. I was surprised, you know. Rammstein, groups like Ram. Have you heard of them?
Yeah, yeah.
Rammstein and Megahertz. Yeah, it's all that, you know, death metal. Metallica have done it. They do it a lot. So you got the big hitters and all the rest of the crew. It's a very interesting show anyway, you know. And as I say, more variety in that world than you might imagine. So I thought, could this take off in London? You know, would there be the clientele for it?
Yeah.
Does the demographic for this sort of thing actually live in London, or is it more of a provincial thing? I don't know. So I was musing on it, and this is my pitch to get a German metal festival going on in Hyde Park or something. So here it is every year. So I had to record it this year. You know, I'm an avid fan of this show. So this, for obvious reasons, it's called Lights, Camera, with a K. Lights, camera, Achtung. From the orange groves of Spitalfields to the vineyards of St. Paul's, horror clown by megahertz is bouncing off the walls. Kraut metal is the soundtrack that gets you on the total wire. Echoes, echo, echoes, and there's an amplifier fire. The heat, the blasted heat, okay, ka fucking law. Bring on the inferno. More, I tell you, more, like a Ray Lowry nightmare. The dress goes black on black in black. We stole our children's future. We're never gonna give it back. Never, 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 Jack. Not this side of a Marshall stack. This ain't my kind of music, but I like it anyway, 'cause we're the degeneration and we got something to say. At the annual Kraut Rock special, shitloads of death metal. Are you having it?
Fabulous. Fabulous. So that the book,
great.
What, is available now from all good bookshops.
Something for everybody. Book early.
Yeah, absolutely.
Act now.
You're also off on tour, John.
Starting tour in March, early March, yeah. We're doing the London Palladium again.
Yep.
Wonderful, yeah.
Wow. Tickets available from johncooperclark.com.
Sold out. Palladium, yeah.
Other venues around the country available still?
Yeah, we're doing Corn Exchange, I think it is, in Cambridge. We're coming, I think we're obviously in Norwich.
I think you're doing Norfolk, where's next to the sea? In Norfolk.
Oh, aren't we? I've never been there before. I've seen it on the daytime television schedule.
It's very nice.
Looks lovely, yeah. Smashing. Makes Princeton look like a shithole.
Drink up, please. It's time.
One final thing before we go. You need to name your pup. What's it going to be?
Oh, right. This jet interest. Now, this is this is an actual name of a pub. And, you know, I was musing on this throughout my entire childhood. I told you that the Boddington Brewery was further down our road. Further up the road, it was Prestwich, the stamping ground of the aforementioned Marquis Smith. And I think he's referenced this pub as well, quite rightly. It's called the pub's name, and it is the real name of the pub, and it's the Railway Naturalist. You know, I mean, everybody makes up names like that, don't they? The Eagle and Gynecologist, you know, there's a million joke names of pubs. But that goes back to the days of the Industrial Revolution. So the way I had it figured, every time I passed it on, you know, I was thinking, Railway and Naturalist. First I thought it was a nudist.
That was my initial.
I was a kid, but I thought, no, a naturalist. That's a naturist. This is naturalist. So I'm thinking, some sandal-wearing nature crank, you know, that's trying to, back in the days of, you know, George Bernard Shaw, trying to stop the railroad coming through Prestwich. Yeah. You know what I mean? So this sort of adversarial situation that didn't end well and has been written up in the local history books. That's the way I had it figured when I was a kid. But I'm open to other interpretations of it. But I think that makes quite a lot of sense, you know, some kind of, you know,
must be
cranky, fruit juice drinking socialist type, trying to halt the Industrial Revolution.
Banning smoking.
In Manchester, you know.
Yeah.
So that's just my theory. So I would call it. You shouldn't forget that. That's a great name for a pub, the Railway Naturalist. It certainly beats my original choice of, as I say, the Eagle and Gynecologist.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, John, to create your dream pub.
Pleasure.
It's been a real pleasure talking to you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Robbie. Thank you, Dan.
I will let you head back through the realms, off back home. Thank you.
Time, gentlemen, please.